the theme is darkness and temptations. Well, Faustina. My mind became dimmed in a strange way. No truth seemed clear to me. When people spoke to me about God, my heart was like a rock. I could not draw from it a single sentiment of love for Him. When I tried, by an act of the will, to remain close to Him, I experienced great torments, and it seemed to me that I was only provoking God to an even greater anger. It was absolutely impossible for me to meditate as I had been accustomed to during the past. I felt in my soul a great void, and there was nothing with which I could fill it. Nothing. I began to suffer from a great hunger and yearning for God, but I saw my utter powerlessness. I tried to read slowly, sentence by sentence, and to meditate in this way, but this also was of no avail. I understood nothing of what I had read. The abyss of my misery was constantly before my eyes. Every time I entered the chapel for some spiritual exercise, I experienced even worse torments and temptations. More than once, all through Holy Mass, I had to struggle against blasphemous thoughts which were forcing themselves to my lips. I felt an aversion for the Holy Sacraments, and it seemed to me that I was not profiting from them in any way. It was only out of obedience to my confessor that I frequented them, and this blind obedience was for me the only path I could follow and my very last hope of survival. The priest explained to me that these were trials sent by God, and that in the situation I was in, not only was I not offending God, but I was most pleasing to Him. This is a sign, he said, that God loves you very much and that He has great confidence in you, since He is sending you such trials. But these words brought me no comfort. It seemed to me that they did not apply to me at all. One thing did surprise me. It often happened that at a time when I was suffering greatly, these terrible torments would disappear suddenly just as I was approaching the confessional. But as soon as I had left the confessional, all these torments would again seize me with even greater ferocity. I would then fall on my face before the Blessed Sacrament, repeating these words, "Even if you kill me, still will I trust in you." It seemed to me that I would die in these agonies. But the most terrible thought for me was the conviction that I had been rejected by God. Then other thoughts came to me. Why strive to acquire virtues and do good work? Why mortify and annihilate, yourself? What good is it to take vows, to pray, to sacrifice, and immolate yourself? Why sacrifice yourself all the time? What good is it if I'm already rejected by God? By all these efforts? And here, God alone knew what I was going on in my heart. Once when I was being crushed by these dreadful sufferings, I went into the chapel and sat from the bottom of my soul. Do what you will with me, O Jesus. I will adore you in everything. May your will be done in me, O my Lord and my God, and I will praise your infinite mercy. Through these acts of submission, these terrible torments left me. Suddenly I saw Jesus, who said to me, I am always in your heart. Although at times you don't feel suffering, darkness. An inconceivable joy entered my soul, and a great love of God set my heart aflame. I see that God never tries us beyond what we are able to suffer. Oh, I fear nothing. If God sends such great suffering to a soul, he upholds it with an even greater grace, although we are not aware of it. One act of trust at such moments gives greater glory to God than whole hours passed in prayer filled with consolation. That's one second of trust. Although you don't feel, just trust more merit than the whole hour feeling peace. When you're not at peace, offer it, trust in the love worthwhile. Now I see that if God wants to keep a soul in darkness, no book, no confessor can bring it light. It's the will of God. O Mary, my mother and my lady, I offer you my soul, my body, my life and my death, and all that will follow it. I place everything in your hands. O my mother, cover my soul with your virginal mantle and grant me the grace of purity of heart, soul and body. Defend me with your power against all enemies, and especially against those who hide the malice behind the mask of virtue. O lovely lady, you are for me a mirror, O my mother. O Jesus, divine prisoner of love, when I consider your love and how you emptied yourself from me, my senses failed me. You hide inconceivable majesty and lower yourself to a miserable me. O King of glory, though you hide your beauty, yet the eye of my soul rends the veil. I see the angelic choirs giving you honor without cease, and all the heavenly powers praising you without cease. And without cease, they are saying, Holy, Holy, Holy. Oh, who will comprehend your love and your unfathomable mercy towards us? O prisoner of love, I locked up my poor heart in this tabernacle, that it may adore you without cease, night and day. I know of no obstacle in this adoration, and even though I be physically distant, my heart is always with you. So she put her heart in the tabernacle, where she go. Try this, imagine, put your heart inside the tabernacle, stay with Jesus. It's nice, eh? Nothing can put a stop to my love for you. No obstacles exist for me, O my Jesus. I will console you for all the ingratitude, the blasphemies, the coldness, the hatred of the wicked, the sacrilegious. O Jesus, I want to burn as a pure offering and to be consumed before the throne of your hiddenness. I pled with your unceasingly for poor dying sinners. O Holy Trinity, one and indivisible God, may you be blessed for these great gifts and testament for mercy. My Jesus, to atone for blasphemies, I will keep silent when unjustly reprimanded and in this way make partial amends to you. I'm singing within my soul an unending hymn to you. and no one will suspect or understand this. The song of my soul is known to you alone, O my Creator and Lord. There are times when you feel sorrow, something in the heart, my God given, my so many people make you sad, with peace and just trust in His love. I will not allow to myself to be absorbed in the whirlwind of work as to forget about God. I will spend all my free moments at the feet of the Master, hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. He has been treasuring me for my most tender years. Jesus says, right is, I come as a just judge. I'm coming first as the King of Mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, there will be given to people a sign of the in the heavens of this sort. All lights in the heavens will be extinguished, and there will be great darkness over the whole world. Heavens mean the sky, eh? Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the openings where the hands and the feet of the Savior were nailed will come forth great lights, which will light up the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. This is a sign that's given to Faustina. I read again, eh? All lights in the heaven and the sky will be extinguished, and there will be great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the openings where the hands and feet of the Savior were nailed will come forth great lights, which will light up the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. He's now in August 2nd, 1934. On Friday, after Holy Communion, I was carried in spirit before the throne of God. There I saw the heavenly powers which incessantly praise God. Beyond the throne, I saw a brightness inaccessible to creatures, and there only the incarnate Word enters as mediator. When Jesus entered this light, I heard these words. Write down at once what you hear. I am the Lord in my essence and am immune to orders or needs. If I call creatures into being, that is the peace of my mercy. And at that very moment, I find myself as before in our chapel at Malila, just as Mass had ended. I already had these words written. When I saw how much my confessor was to suffer because of this work which God was going to carry out through him, fear seized him for the moment, and I said to the Lord, Jesus, this is your affair, so why are you acting this way toward him? It seemed to me that you are making difficulties for him, while at the same time ordering him to act. Write that by day and by night my gaze is fixed upon him, the confessor, and I permit these adversities in order to increase his merit. I do not reward for good results, but for the patience and hardship undergone for my sake. It's not because of success and you're giving the price. No. Patience, the effort you made, that's the price. That is pleasing to Jesus. And again, October 26, 1934. On Friday, at 10 minutes to 6, when I had some of our wards were coming in from the garden to supper, I saw the Lord Jesus above our chapel. looking just as he did the first time I saw him, and just as he is painted in the image. The two rays which emanated from the heart of Jesus covered our chapel and the infirmary, and then the whole city, and spread out over the whole world. This lasted about 4 minutes and disappeared. One of the girls who was walking with me a little behind the others also saw these rays, but she did not see Jesus, and she did not know where these rays were coming from. She was overwhelmed and told the other girls. They began to laugh at her, suggesting that she was imagining things, or that perhaps it was light reflecting by passing airplane. But she persisted in her conviction, saying that never had she seen such rays before. When the others suggested that it might have been a searchlight, she replied that she knew very well what a searchlight was like, but never had she seen rays such as these. It is some witness that she saw the two rays. After supper, the girl approached me and told me she had been so moved by these rays that she could not keep silent, but wanted to tell everyone about them. Yet she had not seen Jesus. She kept telling me about these rays. And this put me in an awkward situation, as I could not tell her that I had seen the Lord Jesus. I prayed for her, asking the Lord to give her those graces of which she had such need. My heart rejoiced in the fact that Jesus takes the initiative to make himself known, even though the occasion of such action on his part causes me annoyance. For Jesus, one can bear anything. During adoration, I felt God close to me. A moment later, I saw Jesus and Mary. At the sight of them, I was filled with joy, and I asked the Lord, "What is your will, Jesus, concerning the matter about which my confessor told me to ask you?" Jesus replied, "It is my will that he should remain here, and that he should not take the initiative of dispensing myself." I asked Jesus whether the inscription could be "Christ, King of Mercy." He answered, "I am King of Mercy." But he did not say "Christ." Jesus would. I decided that this image be displayed in public on the first Sunday after Easter. That Sunday is the Feast of Mercy. Through the word incarnate, I make known the bottomless depth of my mercy. So this is the 1934, October 26th, the exact date that Jesus wants that image to celebrate the Divine Mercy Sunday on the first Sunday of Easter. So next week, not this week, next week, we'll celebrate. I hope you will join together with Sister Faustina to celebrate the feast. That she suffered so much for this, you know, she's very suffering. And we hope to participate in the grace. And as I said,